Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace. Well, today we're going to come to the sixth work category in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, the sixth and final one. You remember that Ecclesiastes 4 is Solomon's investigation of the category of work, the area of work, and where work fits into life, and particularly into bringing fulfillment and satisfaction in life. And though it is one of the better categories that Solomon investigated, it still proves to be not as satisfying as many people think it is. There are all kinds of problems with work situations which turn out to make them less than fulfilling. And frankly, I think most of you can relate to that. Almost everybody I know has at least some periods of their life where they find their job very, very unfulfilling, very frustrating. They are not finding happiness and fulfillment and satisfaction, even though they are working a job and working hard, but because of all kinds of things. Because of an unreasonable boss, because of other workers on the job who are not honorable, not hard workers, don't fulfill their end of the load, don't do what they're supposed to do, but work very hard at trying to make themselves look good in the eyes of the boss, and sometimes are successful in deceiving him, and on and on and on it goes. I mean, there's so many reasons. People have jobs that are just not in an area where they're suited for, and yet they've got to have a job, got to earn a living, but it's less than satisfying. And so even though work and working hard can be a noble thing and it is designed by God for our good, there can be a lot of reasons why it turns out not to be very satisfactory after all. And so we're not surprised that Solomon explores the area of work and finds out that in more cases than not, it doesn't turn out to be very satisfying. And we're coming to the sixth area on this Wednesday, August 26. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for your financial support. Following up what I said a moment ago, if you have a job that suits your abilities and desires in life and you enjoy doing, you are very blessed indeed. Because that is the exception, not the rule. And there are plenty of those. I'm not trying to imply that hardly anybody has a job like that, because I know a lot of people who do, but I also know a lot of people who are very frustrated with their jobs, and they just cannot seem to find the right job. Now, that takes us off in another direction from what Solomon is dealing with here. But it has been my observation that in at least some of the cases where that problem presents itself, the problem may not be so much with the job as it is with the worker who has bad attitudes, a weak work ethic, wrong expectations, difficulty getting along with people, at all kinds of things. The problems that you take into life will be problems wherever you work. There'll be problems in your home and marriage. There'll be problems in your circle of friends and so forth. They don't go away just because you're on a job working, doing something noble. You've still got yourself to deal with. But that's not the case always. And there are times when people are very faithful and hardworking and honorable and congenial, and yet there are problems. Well, we move on to category number 6. And this is the category where people work to achieve fame. And Solomon deals with this one by telling a story about two kings. Verse 13, better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king, who will be admonished no more. For he comes out of prison to be king, although he was born poor in his kingdom. I saw all the living who walk under the sun. They were with the second youth who stands in his place. There was no end of all the people over whom he was made king, yet those who came afterward will not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and grasping for wind. Yes, we've become accustomed to hearing this word vanity a lot in the book of Ecclesiastes, and Solomon is telling us of another situation that turns out to be vanity and grasping after wind. Grasping after wind is grasping after something that it proves to be insubstantial, illusionary. You think there's something there, but when you reach for it, it turns out to be nothing. And that which is vanity is that which turns out to be transient, fleeting. It doesn't produce anything of lasting substance. And so those who work to achieve fame generally end up without satisfaction. They're grasping for something that's like grasping after wind. It's illusionary. It doesn't satisfy. Now, we tend to look at people who are famous, and we admire their fame and often envy their fame and think, if I could just have the fame that that person has, I would be so happy. I would be so satisfied, I'd be so delighted with life. And you would be surprised how many of those people don't feel that way about their fame. I would guess, and it has to be a guess since I don't know everybody, haven't talked to everybody, but by my observation over life over many years, I would guess that very few famous people are really happy and fulfilled and satisfied with their lives. It's very similar to those who work to achieve wealth, and though they succeed, never really find satisfaction in it because they never succeed enough. They never get enough to make them happy. And it's the same with fame. People start down that road of trying to achieve fame, and the problem is, no matter what level of fame you achieve, there's always somebody who's more popular, more famous, and you find yourself dissatisfied with your level of fame because you haven't achieved that other person's level of fame. You envy them. You're not finding satisfaction in life. The whole pursuit of fame as a goal in life is a very shallow pursuit anyway. I remember reading not too many months ago that 25% of, I think that was the percentage, of young people ages, say, 18 to 25 or so, have a goal of becoming famous and believe they're going to become famous. Ha, 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 ha. They'll find out soon enough that is an impossible expectation. All of those people can't become famous. But that explains a lot of what you see on social media, Facebook, all of the selfies that people take and post. And they're trying to achieve fame. They're trying to get noticed. And they think that's going to bring satisfaction to life. And it doesn't. Now, let's take a quick look at these kings, or we're going to run out of time. So let's see if we can understand what he's talking about. Well, he's in verses 13 and 14, what Solomon is saying is that wisdom is better than wealth and position if that is also accompanied with folly. And folly is described here as one who is unwilling to receive instruction, one who won't take counsel. And he even couples that with a remark about old age and how that tends to even ratchet up the problem in people's inability to accept counsel. Better a poor and wise youth, so he's talking about somebody who's poor, and he's talking about somebody who's young, but is wise. Better a poor and wise youth than an old and foolish king who will be admonished no more. For he, well, we'll just stop at that point. That's the picture that he's painting here. Now, I'm talking to all kinds of people of all kinds of different ages. I recognize that youth does not necessarily make a person wise. In fact, in the general scheme of things, the general average of things, the older a person is, the wiser they generally are or ought to be or thought to be, but unfortunately too many times are actually not. We ought to be wiser as we grow older. We ought to have learned some things about life. We ought to have had some experiences that have taught us something, but that isn't always so. And even though when it comes to youth, oftentimes young people are not so mature, not so wise, are foolish and impetuous, and sometimes there is a young person who's wise, and that's the one that Solomon's talking about here. And he says it would be better to be poor and wise than to be old and foolish, and particularly the folly of thinking you know everything and that nobody can give you advice or counsel. We've all known people like that. The key is for us not to be one of those persons like that. We've all known people like that. We've all observed people like that. We see people like that sometimes in politics. We see people like that many times in a corporation setting. They think they know it all. Nobody can tell them anything, and they're not open to counsel. I've seen it with many in business situations. Sometimes what I've observed is a business that is built up by a very hardworking and wise man, and then either through death or through old age and retirement, he passes on the business to one or more of his sons, and they ruin it in short order. Why? Because they're know-it-alls. They think they know everything. They're not going to take counsel. They don't even listen to the old man. They don't listen to others. They think they know better. They start making changes of things that they think are going to make it work better, and their father, if he's still living, is saying to them, no, don't do that. I'm trying to tell you that's not the way to go. But they think they know more than he does. And I have seen more than once businesses ruined that took a lifetime to build because of someone who wouldn't take counsel. That will spoil a work situation. It will spoil the ability to find satisfaction in work. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.